Let's take a Bible just a minute. I find that it's real helpful to look at some background verses before we get into the subject on fellowship. What do you think of when you think of fellowship? What's your first thought comes into your mind? Huh? People. People. Fellowship. Fellowship is people, dealing with people, huh? Well, a good word for fellowship is communion. Communion is really a better word for fellowship. It's sharing. It's sharing. It's participation. Now, the reason I'm so anxious to share this with you, you see some people that receive Christ, and the next week or two, they're just bubbling over. They've got to share what they have in Christ. They seem to just be gung-ho, so to speak, for Jesus Christ. They can't wait to give it away. And you see them grow. Their life changes. Their family life changes. Their relationship in business changes. Everything about them changes. They become more Christ-like. Here's another guy who receives Christ the same day with the same dedication. He just gave his all. He took Christ as his Savior. But the next week, this guy's he never talks about Christ. He's indifferent. He's somewhat cold. He's a little distant. What's the difference? I'll tell you the difference, friend. It's fellowship. You tell me about your fellowship, your walk with Christ, your communion with Him, and I'll tell you about your overflow, your overflow of love of Christ. And you can't contain it. Jeremiah had the same problem. He ate the Word of God. He applied it to his life. And he says that it was like a fire shut up in his bones. And he couldn't stop. Anywhere you stop, old Jeremiah, he'd tell you about Christ. He'd tell you about the Savior, how to go to heaven and how to live the victorious life. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And this is the answer to life eternal in abundance. And some background verses. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. And we're going to move on pretty fast. So if you don't, just copy it down if you don't want to read it. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto what? The fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you know that you were created to have fellowship with Christ? Now, if you're not having fellowship with Him, then you're missing a lot, and He's disappointed. That's the reason the quiet time is so precious. You're going to meet Him, and He's waiting on you. Look at John 7, chapter of the Gospel of John. The 7th chapter of the Gospel of John. I like you to look at these verses. It's a little more meaningful when you actually look at them instead of just to let me read them to you. The 7th chapter and 37th verse says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Doesn't that open up a lot of thoughts? Of eating Christ, drinking His blood, eating His body. Kind of close, isn't it? Or you think we're a divine partaker of Him? You better believe it. I don't understand what happened to food when I eat it, but it becomes a part of my body. Now, He wants us to eat Him. Be that close. It's symbolic, of course. Look at verse 38. "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his innermost being," what will happen? "Shall flow rivers of living water." Do you believe that? You see, that's the reason. This is the result of fellowship. If you're not flowing like rivers of living water from your innermost being, which is your heart, the seat of the emotions, it's where the thought life starts, then it's lack of fellowship. Lack of fellowship. Well, let's look at another verse. What's Amos 3:3 talk about? You remember that one? Amos over in the Old Testament. Amos, the 3rd chapter of Amos, in the 3rd verse. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" No, they can't, can they? "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" This is fellowship. The old Navy boys had a thought on it, and to a great extent it's the same. It is a good thought. Fellows on the same ship. Fellowship. Well, they're going to the same places. They're involved in the same things. They're fighting a battle, perhaps, or if you're on a ship, you're involved in the same things. Fellowship. We're involved with God through Christ on everything that He's got planned. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, that'll break fellowship. If you don't agree with God from what he says, then you're not going to walk with him. Well, we'll just take the part. It's got a lot on the negative, what not to do. And then we'll close up for background verses. 1 John, and this is a verse that I want you to memorize. You'll never regret it. When we get through with it today, Lord willing, we expect the Spirit of God to unfold it for you and for me. 1 John, the Epistle of John, on the back of the Bible. But if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, what does walking mean? It's making progress, it's traveling, it's moving about. It's the total activities of a man's life, is our walk. It's life, it's living. That's what he's talking about. And if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. 1 John, 1st chapter, 7th verse. Epistle of John, 1:7. 1 John. Excuse me. All speak up, incidentally. If you don't understand, or if I say a verse and you miscopy it down, you won't bother me one iota. After all, it just takes one verse to change a person's life for a long time. So don't miss any of them. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, up in verse 5, what does it say in verse 5 just above that? This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that what? God is light. God is light. Now, if we're going to walk in the path and the way with him, then our lives have got to be clean, because he can't look upon sin. That's the reason an unbeliever can't walk with Christ. You see, you've got two things in a Christian's life. You've got a relationship, and that's salvation. You're related to the family of God through Jesus Christ. You made that decision. I'm assuming you're saved. That's relationship. Just because you've got relationship doesn't mean you necessarily have fellowship. Now, it's impossible to have fellowship unless you first have relationship. But it won't work the other way. You can't have fellowship without having relationship. But you can have relationship, you can be saved, and not enjoy fellowship. You know what fellowship really is? Relationship is getting saved. It's in union with Christ. Fellowship is Christ, or better this way, better said this way, it's me experiencing Christ in my life. What fellowship is? It's Christ living his life in me. That's fellowship. It's the things that Christ has for me, and I'm experiencing them. Now, he can have them, and if I'm not in fellowship with him, I can never experience them. And the secret to power in the Christian life is fellowship. Get this. The secret to power in the Christian life is fellowship. It's communion. It's this living with Christ, getting to know him, applying the word to our lives. Be doers of thy word and not hearers only. Now, the secret to fellowship, what would you think that would be? The secret to power is fellowship. The secret to fellowship is walking in the light. Walking in the light. And when you come to walk with Christ, your life is going to have to be clean and pure, and your motives are going to have to be right. What is light? We might stop right here. What is light? Well, on the scale that we look at it, God is light. Really, light as we know it does about three things. Light reveals, gives a revelation. You see because of light that's in here today, right? God is light, and when God comes in, he reveals himself. He reveals a lot of other things. Light gives revelation. God is light. He reveals. Now, what else does light do? Well, it measures. Light measures. Did you ever see a guy pick up a tube before and sight it? Huh? What's he sighting it for? He's seeing if it's straight. You know, a warped tube before, or he's seeing if it's straight. He light. He's using parallel beams of light in his eyes to measure this board. That's what he's doing. That's the principle a transit works on. You know something about a transit, don't you? A transit takes parallel beams of light and measures elevations, distances by stadia. And the Word of God is light to us. It's a channel of light. It's a rod of truth. It's a standard. We read the Word of God, it says something. We look at our life, just like the old boy sighting a tube before. Well, God says this is the truth. This is where I ought to be. But when I look at my life, I'm going over here. That's what light does. It measures. It measures. And the Word of God is a channel of light. And light also energizes. What would happen when you plant the flowers or vegetation of any kind and put it in darkness? It won't grow. The sunlight. God has so perfected the light from heaven that it requires all that to make our vegetation grow. And the Spirit of God energizes your heart and my heart when our motives are right before God. Now, God is light, and if we walk in the light as He's in the light, what happens? Oh, I want you to get this last part, because this doesn't happen apart from walking in the light. We have fellowship one with another, not only with God, but with believers. You and I have fellowship because that's our basis of fellowship, isn't it? No other basis of fellowship for a believer except in Christ, in the Father and in the Son. And what happens? And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. This is the result of walking in the light. And this is the lack of power in your life, in my life, is because sin in my life is sapping all the energy from my spiritual life. Little wee insects on a fruit tree. Maybe they're so small you can't even see them. But if you got enough insects in the bark and in the trunk and in the root system, they'll gradually sap all the life out of that fruit tree, that vine that Gene's talking about, and it'll never produce very good fruit. You go look at it, you say, well, it looks all right to me. I don't see a thing wrong with it. But when you get the telescope down and look at it and the magnifying glass, here's thousands of little insects crawling all over the place, sapping the life out. And sin in your life, indifference to God, disobedience in your life, saps all the spiritual energy we got. And there's no power. But when you and I come and walk in the light, this sin's revealed. We can see it. We can see it. Incidentally, how do you get from light into darkness, or from darkness into light? If you wanted to get the light into this room or the light out of it, what would you do? Well, you'd what? Shut the doors? That's right. You'd just shut off the lights, pull down the blinds, remove the light. You wouldn't shovel out the darkness. You see, darkness comes about because there's no light. Now get this. This is the basic truth. When light comes in, darkness just vanishes. And if you want darkness in your life, all you got to do is shut the channels of light from God out, and you'll automatically get dark. Just turn the lights off. It's that simple. You don't shovel in the darkness. You just cut out the light. And that's the reason we want to get you in the Word of God, that the light of God through the channels of fellowship in the church, the fellowship one with another, the Word of God, and all these avenues of reading and that Jack's talking about are channels of light coming into your life and mine that reveals things in our lives. A revelation. In darkness, you'd stumble all over this place. You would run into the piano and you'd say, well, that's a table. You'd run into a chair and say, well, that's a stool. You pick up a songbook, you'd probably call it a dictionary. You don't know. But when the light turned on, well, that's a piano. I misnamed it. No reason for calling it a table. Why? The light's on. No reason for calling it a stool. The light's on. Oh, isn't it precious that God is light and reveals to you and I what He wants us to know by revelation of the light. And we call things what they are. We call sin, sin. We call Christ, Christ. We call the Word what it is. We call life what it is. Eternal life, we call bread what it is, and we call spiritual bread, the Word of God, what it is. Why? Because the light from God Himself has revealed it to you and I. It measures our life day by day. Now I want to, in the next few minutes, I want to walk you through just a minute some of the avenues of where fellowship's found. Fellowship is a word like abide. It's a growing word. It's almost, well, you can't get to the end of it. Fellowship and communion is a totality. It's all of life. And as your life grows and my life in Christ, it gets bigger. It gets bigger, just like your love gets more and more. Your witnessing gets more and more. Your faith grows. You grow more in grace. You grow in every area of life. And fellowship and communion is one of those types. Okay. Let me just share with you. You find fellowship, and I'm going to hurry through these because I want you to see them and then work on them later. You find fellowship in spiritual assemblies. We find fellowship in church, in groups like we were in just now. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Get this, in my name. That's the basis of fellowship. Where two or three are gathered together, Matthew 18:20. I am in their midst. A promise. That's fellowship. That's where you find fellowship. Fellowship is found in the communion of saints. Now, this is a precious story. Remember on the road to Damascus? On the road to Emmaus? You know, the resurrection, and these two men were walking along, and Jesus joined them. You remember that? Look what it said. Luke 24:15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, which means discussed, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And in Luke 24:32, I want you to see this, the communion and the fellowship that these guys had on that walking out on a dusty road, on the road to Emmaus. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Does your heart ever burn when you get alone with God reading the scriptures? Oh, if you've not experienced that. Just try. Just get alone. You remember Nathaniel? I want you to get this. Nathaniel, over when Philip and John found Jesus, Jesus said, come and see, come and see, come and see. And he ran up there to Nathanael, a good buddy of his. He said, Nathanael, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And old Nathanael said, anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Where do you think Nathanael had been? Now, you can read between the lines real simply in the Word of God. The Spirit of God will direct you. I can see Nathanael sitting down there under a fig tree. And Philip and the boys had been knowing about Jesus down at Nazareth, been hearing about him. And old Nathanael sat down and he began to talk to God. He said, now, Lord, if you're real, I want Jesus to come up here and tell me something that I'd know that he's God himself, that he's the Messiah. All right. 10 minutes later, old Nathanael goes over the hill, and here comes Philip with Jesus and John, and old Nathanael comes up, and John, let's look at the gospel. I want you to see this, because this is what we're talking about, a heartwarming experience. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Boy, that's something, isn't it? No deceit. How did Jesus know that? Because he's who he is. Look what Nathanael said. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Boy, what a question. His heart's prepared. Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Look what he said. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. I'll tell you. How about when you're praying for God to bring somebody along to you and you've been fellowshipping with him? This is fellowship. Talking to him in private, taking his word at face value, and say, Lord, bring me somebody to witness to. And the girl called and said, Joe Clark is out here. Won't see you. And when he comes in, he says, I don't know what I'm doing here. And he receives Christ.
Now that's heartwarming experience. That's fellowship. That's Christ living his life out through me and you, and that's the only place God's got to live, is in your heart and in mine. Well, let's go on. Being with Jesus is fellowship. Just listen. Acts 4:13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, what did they do? They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's fellowship. Being with Jesus is fellowship. How are you with him today? He's not here physically, is he? How do you hear his voice today in his word? By the Spirit of God. His Spirit bearing witness with my spirit that I'm the Son of God. The Spirit of God wrote the book. The Spirit of God's the author of the book. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And when I received Christ, the Holy Spirit came to indwell me. Our bodies are the living temple of the Spirit of God. We're furnishing a home for God to live in so he can take the Word of God and the Spirit of God in me when it's free and controls my life and I'm walking in the light as he's in the light. He speaks to my heart what he wants me to do and what he doesn't want me to do and how to do it. And he gives strength and he gives joy and he gives peace. And he sets up all the crooked paths and makes them straight. It's a work of grace as we walk with Christ in the light. Well, being with Jesus is fellowship. We have fellowship in our testimony. That's the reason we like the people to give their testimony. That which we have seen and heard, 1 John 1:3, declare we unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Even giving our testimony is fellowship. Thinking back on when he saved you. Over and over again it says, remember, remember, remember. Psalm 103, think upon his benefits. What has he done for you that's so radically different? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech ye, brethren, by the mercies of God. What are his mercies? It's what he's done for you. That's the basis. He begs them to present their bodies a living sacrifice unto him, a holy sacrifice and an acceptable sacrifice, which means one pleasing to God. On what basis? On what he's done for you, his mercy. Eternal life, forgiveness of sin, peace in the heart, access to the throne. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that's in Christ. You mean you'll never be judged? That's what God says. You mean there's no separation? That's what he said at the end of Romans 8. Height nor depth nor things present, things of past, nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Is it worth it? Is the power in fellowship or not? Giving our testimony. Just sharing what we've seen and heard. That's all you really got, isn't it? That's taking experiential knowledge according to God's promises. That's what it's doing. It's the experiences we had and line them up with what God said. And they're always yes, 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 yes. And never vary. Never shut off. There's no valves on God's power coming to me and you. It's an artesian well, everlasting, eternal, the Alpha to the Omega. Where else would you find fellowship? Eating together. I like that. Over in Romans 3:20 it says, if you've heard his voice and open the door, I will come in. That's salvation. Most people stop there. They don't know fellowship. Fellowship begins at that point. Fellowship doesn't exist till you get saved. Excuse me, what did I say? Revelation 3:20. Thank you. Revelation 3:20. Jesus, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. Two-way deal. What does sup mean? Eating together. What do you think eating together in this context would mean? Doing the things that God likes. Enjoying what Jesus... Feeding on the things that Jesus is feeding on. If I'm going to sup with him, I'm going to eat with him. We delight to do the things that delight him. Delight thyself in the Lord, trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. What do you delight to do? What's your greatest delight? What's your number one really delight? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. eat my body, drink my blood. You see the intimacy that God wants. What's his main objective? That we be conformed to the image of his Son, and that every day. Be conformed. It's durable. It's not some imaginary thing. Be conformed, what to? The image of his Son, Jesus Christ. That means becoming more and more and more like him. And it's a growing process. And it's a result of fellowship. It's a result of fellowship. It's a result of communion. Communing with him. You know the greatest example of fellowship? What do you think would be the number one greatest example of fellowship that you know in the Bible? And the key to it is communion. Yeah, you guessed it. Communion table. What do you do about the communion table? Took the bread and broke it, and he said, "This is my body that's been broken for you. And this is the new covenant, the blood of Christ that's been poured out for you." You see, centrality of the cross. That's where it starts. That's where it ends. This is God's plan. No other way to get saved. No other way to know Christ. No other way that you'll ever appreciate Christ till you see the great love that he poured out for me and you on the cross. The knowledge of the love of God is how much we know about his love on the cross. And our love is we put this love to practice in our lives in the same way for others out in the world. Same love, just one kind, divine love. It's God's love. And if he doesn't give more to me, I can't contain it. I won't use what he's got. And he has to shut it off. But I'll tell you, the more fellowship and communion I have with him, the more I get. It's almost a direct function. Almost a direct function. Well, fellowship is found in walking with God. That's precious. Back over in Genesis, about the 5th chapter, 5:24, Enoch walked with God, and God and he was with God, and he was not, for God took him. He and old Enoch got to have such a good time fellowshipping together, communing together, till I guess God said, "I need you up in heaven," and he just translated him. He's the only man that we know of that nobody ever, he just showed up missing one day, and God took him. Over in Hebrews, it says, Enoch said over in Hebrews 11:5, says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him to translated him, for before his translation," I want you to hear this testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Pretty short testimony. You remember the testimony of John the Baptist? Never did a miracle. Do you know what they ended up saying? Everything the guy ever said about Jesus Christ was true. Isn't that a testimony? Enoch pleased God. How do you please God? How do you please God? Pleasing to God. An acceptable sacrifice. Pleasing to God. Well, another way to find where you find, well, Noah was walking with God. That's fellowship. And Noah was a just man and perfect, which means he's blameless, in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Who are you walking with? Do you walk with God? If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ keeps on cleansing, continuously cleanses, even the sins of ignorance. That's what it means. Sins you don't even are aware of. Perfect cleanliness. That's the reason you fit for heaven. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to do what? Forgive us. What else? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How can God do that? How in the world can God cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Well, I'll tell you, when your heart is right before God and you're walking in the light as he's in the light, then if you could name 10,000 sins, you'd name every one of them. And God knows that. God looks at the heart. You forget them. You do it and forget it. But still, God's faithful to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that's the reason that a believer can stand in God's presence who cannot look upon sin. Because we're blameless. God looks on the heart. Oh, how we stumble and fall. God picks us up, he looks on the heart, walking in the light. Well, what's another way? Where else would we find fellowship? Letting God be my shepherd. Letting God be my shepherd. Are you a sheep? You got a shepherd? The Lord is my what? shepherd. Don't you like to emphasize those different words? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, present tense. The Lord is my shepherd right now. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, and you shall not have want. What does the last of that say? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Fellowship is found in praying. If you want to find fellowship in communion, it's in prayer. Mark 1:35 says, "And in the morning, rising a great while before day," speaking of Jesus Christ, "he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Fellowship is found in praying. Well, it's found in giving. We participate in giving in this church to missionaries. Real fellowship, real communion in giving. I wish I had time to open up Second Corinthians 8:4 and look at the fellowship in giving to the saints down at Jerusalem, that because they'd received Jesus Christ, they lost their jobs. That's what he's talking about. We have fellowship in worship, and Paul speaks of fellowship in the gospel over in Philippians 1:5. Fellowship in the gospel, and you know what the gospel is. Well, let's just close up then in the next few minutes. And I want to close up with a little thought on this 1 John, first chapter, speaking of God is light, verse 5, and then verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The truth's not in it. We don't practice the truth. Now, if we say we have fellowship with him, if we say we're communing with him, if we say that we're walking in the light, but our whole life reflects that we're walking in darkness. Did you ever do that? Do you ever assume that you're walking in fellowship with him? And our life reflects that we're not walking in fellowship with him? The Lord says it's a lie. It's a lie. It's an out-out lie. If we say, we may or we may not. You can't do both, can you? How do you suppose you get to walk in darkness? Let me give you some very practical things here. And it's already been covered, so I'll just mention it. Stop going to church and hearing the Word of God. A wonderful way to walk in darkness. You just shut the light off. The channel of light that comes when Pastor Frank preaches, you shut it off. And the Word of God is a channel of light. And you stop going to church, and that just shuts that channel off. And you begin to walk in darkness. Darkness is really little sins in my life. It's out of the will of God. Walking in the light is walking in the will of God. Doing what God wants me to do instead of what I want to do. Another way to shut out the light is stop reading the Bible. An ideal way to shut the light out. Shut out communion with God. Shut out fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walking in darkness, we lie. If you want to walk in darkness, just quit reading your Bible. I don't know a better way, a quicker way, to start walking in darkness. Walking in the flesh again. And then, another thing is failure to examine our lives in the light of the Word of God. Now, I want you to look at this verse. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians, open your Bibles there, because I want you to see this. I think this is probably, many people tell me they read the Bible, but they say their lives are not changed. They don't have victory. They're not witnessing. They don't do thus and thus and thus and thus. But you know, if you don't lay your life down and examine it according to the Word of God, then nothing will really happen. What does 13:5 say? Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. See? Know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Evaluate our time. Evaluate our talents. Evaluate my life in regard to what God says. Examine our lives. I like to play. Anybody ever see a thing like that? You engineers, you ladies ever see a thing like that? Huh? That's the plumb bob. If you ever looked at an engineering transit, that was hanging right in the middle of a plumb bob or a transit, and it's a vertical. Every building that was ever built, don't care how high it is, the Empire State Building went up and down, it built part of that like that. When that thing is filled, it's vertical. It's vertical. If you build a wall, I don't care if you build it a mile high, you build every brick exactly parallel to that plumb bob, it'll never move any way. Now, one of our good friends has been mentioned here a time or two, he plumb bobbed in the Bible. Well, what in the world is that? Well, he read the Word of God and he said, well, that's a lot of truth. That's the standard. That's where God went. And then he looked at his life. That's examining our life. In accordance with the Word of God. Well, you're either doing what God said or you're not. Now, are you willing to change? Are you willing to take the Word of God and apply it to my life? That's application. That's testing the Word of God. That's proving it. That's how you got saved, really, isn't it? You took a promise, that's taking a promise and acting upon it. You took a promise from the Word of God and you acted upon it, and God did just exactly what he said he'd do. What? He saved you. And you got the earnest of the Spirit, which is a down payment. You knew it from your inner spirit. Light came in where there was darkness. Joy where there wasn't joy. Peace where there wasn't peace. Things above begin to look good. Your heavenly home. Things on earth begin to get a little dim. Why? Because you just took the Word of God and you said, Lord, I believe it. I'm going to act upon it. Now that's experiential knowledge. Doing God's will with His Word, and it works out for patience and love and joy and peace and long suffering. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. That's communion. That's abiding. That's living a life. That's Christ living in us. That's what God wants to do. Fellowship is Christ living His life out in me. Fellowship is experiencing Christ's life in me. And it's all according to the Word of God. No other way. Don't you like things as simple? What if God had a dozen ways to do something? I can't hardly make up mine to get on one runway to land. Man, I thank God He's just got one way to redeem us. He's just got one way, one cross, one, the person of Christ, which the Word became flesh, and one book that never varies. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's fellowship. Only way, no other way. Well, we mark our Bibles. We make little plumb bob. We mark a little line, little big old dot on it. When we're reading the Bible, a verse of Scripture, we look at it and say, well, let's see how my life reflects with this standard of truth. The rod of truth is the Word of God. A candle of light has come. And I look at the Word, and then I look at my life. How do I measure? How's my life measure up? See? Now, that's what he's talking about when he says, examine your life. Says another place over in Romans, said, if we had judged our lives, we wouldn't be judged. You believe God will chasten you? I'll tell you, if you want to walk with Him, if you pray, He's going to prune you. He's going to correct you. But if we'll judge ourselves according to the Word of God, He says we'll not be judged. This is a totality. This is total surrender. This is total communion. No shadows, no hypocrisy. Little by little, oh, we're unfaithful, we sin, we fall, we stumble. But you know what happens? It's when we're not walking in the light. And I'll tell you, the Christian life, as you grow, you get to walking more and more and more in the light with Christ. And if your life's not that, it's pretty obvious what's the matter. You've got the answers already this morning on why it isn't. You're not abounding, you're not ever increasing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. We're growing little by little into the glory of God. Now, what's another way, a sure way to cut out the light? I'll tell you, it's comparing ourselves with others. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:12. What time we break up here, Gene? Gene, what time is this over? Okay, we'll bring it to a close. 2 Corinthians, what did I tell you, 10:12? Now, this is a sure way, if you want to walk in darkness, you get to comparing yourself with old brother Joe or sister Joe, comparing yourself with people. There's no better way for a Christian to say, well, I'm better than she is, or I'm better than he is, but how do you stack up with Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, an old boy can be in Death Valley or he can be on Pike's Peak, but neither one of them can touch the stars. See, neither one of them can touch the stars. Comparing ourselves with people. 2 Corinthians 10:12, what does it say? For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. If you want to bring in darkness and shut out the light, you compare your life with other Christians as a comparison. We compare our lives with Jesus Christ, His Word, and not with people. A sure way to become darkened. And another way is blame others instead of ourselves. Have you ever seen people like that? Oh, it's my inheritance. It's my mother. It's my folks. It's where I was born. It's the one I married. It's the job I've had. It's circumstances. That's the trouble. It's not me. Blaming other people. It's the school teacher. It's the church. It's the Sunday school teacher. It's the Internal Revenue Department. It's the government. We blame everybody in the world except ourselves. I'll tell you, it's just me. Me, oh Lord, just me. I'm my own trouble. I don't have to do these things, do I? No, a sure way to walk in darkness is to blame others and not blame myself. Never admit that we're wrong. Have you seen people that? They'll never admit they're wrong. Even when they're caught wrong, they'll never say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. There's just so much pride, we'll never admit we're wrong. A sure way to break fellowship. That's hypocrisy, and that's pride. Never admitting I'm wrong. Always living a life of maturity. I don't have any need. You know, I'm okay. I'm this. Appearing to people that I'm mature, when down deep in my heart I'm immature. That's just plain old honesty, isn't it? A sure way to walk in darkness. Putting on the front that I'm mature. Putting on the front that I have no needs when we all have needs. A sure way to walk in darkness. Well, what have I tried to say? I've tried to say that number one is a relationship with Jesus Christ to get us in the family. For as many as receive Him, to them gave He power, the right, the authority to become a child of God. Number one is relationship. Then number two is fellowship. You never have fellowship without first having a relationship. Remember that. The power of the Christian life is fellowship. And the secret to fellowship is walking in the light as He's in the light. Then, that's all. That's it. Our loving Father, we thank You abundantly this morning for Your presence, Your promises, Your faithfulness to us, even when we're unfaithful. We'd ask You to take the things that said this morning that was not pleasing to You, that was said in the energy of the flesh, and wipe them out of the minds and hearts of these people, and seal to the hearts the things that You want us to feed upon and ponder upon and put to practice in our lives that we found in Your Word by Your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Wayne, thank you. You sort of have the feeling as Wayne speaks that there's more he'd like to say. Well, I'll tell you, he's the one that first made the comment that I've used so many times. He said, stay near the spout where the glory runs out. And if you'll do that, it'll slosh over, you know. Good to know that you practice what you preach, brother. That's a good word. Abiding, fellowship, communion. That's what he's talking about. Let me share with you one verse. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Out of Living Letters says this. It's quite true that the way to live a godly life is not an easy matter, but the answer lies in Christ. That's the word.
Before we go to lunch, I want to say a word of thanks to those who have made this conference possible. Conferences like this, in case you don't know it, just do not happen. You know, somebody has to put a lot of work in and a lot of time and effort, and we're appreciative for all that's been done. We appreciate the church being available, appreciate all that's been done in the way of the people who've taken positions of responsibility. Appreciate Milton Watkins leading the singing and his thank you playing. We appreciate that, and it's just out of gratitude that we want to say thanks for it. Now, as you leave, we have something we'd like for you to have. It's a little booklet called Time Alone with God. We have one of our fellows at the door, Charlie Holt, who'll give each one of you one as you leave. This is similar and yet a little different slant on the same one you got in your discussion group this morning, which was 7 Minutes with God. So we want you to have this, and maybe during lunch you can read it over. It's very short, but I think it will be a blessing to your life. Then we'll be back here at 1:25, ready to go. Those of you who still would take more, well, you just be back at 1:25, and we'll go again. Now, are there any questions that anybody has or any announcements need to be made that I've missed?